Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We are on week two of our study into Jonah, and it would be an understatement for me not to say that I am learning things by the second about this book that I had never seen in my life before. And so we're going to get right into this because I have some things I really want to cover that you're really going to think are cool, okay? So I'm going to do a real quick review. Sometimes if you serve God and you serve God long enough, he's going to interrupt your life. And when this happens, it's going to be because he has a reason and a very good purpose for doing this. And also he has a right to interrupt us at any time in our life. You signed up for that when you said yes to God. I also want to say that God will interrupt you when you least expect it. When you're the most comfortable, it seems like God will interrupt your life. And since we're people who do not like change and do not seem to go good with change, sometimes this makes us uncomfortable and it can be upsetting. But I want to tell you this, God has a purpose and a unique plan, a custom plan, if you will, for each and every one of us, a divine destiny. Now, a kingdom work for us to do on earth. But sometimes what God has planned for you is going to conflict with the plans that you made for yourself more than likely without consulting God or even asking God, right? Sometimes we make plans without asking God, without consulting God. And so God has a right to interrupt us with his plans and say, well, I've got some plans. So whose plans are we going to go with? So last week we talked about a man whose life was interrupted. He was a prophet of God. He probably, as I said, enjoyed being a prophet of God. What's not to like? You're a prophet of God. I go up to Millie here and I say, thus saith the Lord, you're a wonderful person, Millie. God has some wonderful things for you to do. Your life is going to be wonderful. He's got a wonderful future for you. That's my prophecy to you. Easy peasy. Not a problem at all. I love that. But that's too easy. And God wants to challenge us. God wants to challenge us and stretch our faith. And he wants to know if when we said yes, we really did mean yes. Or did we mean yes if it doesn't conflict with my plans? I say yes, Lord. You know, there's a song that I love. I think it's Maverick City. It's the song Send Me. And it's if it's bandaging the broken or washing dirty feet, here I am, send me. It's a beautiful song. Every time I hear it, it touches me. If you're bandaging the broken, washing dirty feet, send me, Lord. That is until he sends us. And we're actually bandaging dirty feet and washing the broken, right? And so Jonah's life was interrupted. And so I would ask us the question, each and every one of us, how do we respond when God tells us to do something we don't want to do? Because God wants to give us sometimes a unique assignment, a different assignment than others. Why don't you send someone else, Lord? That's what we want to say. And sometimes God gives us a different assignment, but also a difficult assignment. And Jonah was interrupted by God. He was given an assignment that he clearly did not like. God gave him something, an assignment he did not like. Unlike the song, he did understand the assignment. He did. And he didn't like the assignment, did he? The last thing Jonah wanted to do in his life was go to Nineveh and preach to the most wicked people on the planet of that time and tell them, hey guys, you need to repent because God loves you. He did not want to do that. That was not his idea of a good assignment from God. It's easy to say yes to God. It's easy to sing, yes, Lord, yes. Have your will. Have your way. Send me. Faith without works is dead. It's more difficult to actually do some of those things. Now, God interrupted a lot of people's lives. We talked about that. He interrupted Moses' life. He called his name, Moses. There's no confusion there. He couldn't say, well, I thought you were calling Mike. No, Moses, Moses. He called him. And this guy was literally living in a palace. And God goes, I've heard the cries of my people. And God, well, I'm not crying over here. What are you talking about, the cries of your people? No, the other people, Moses, the ones not living in the palace. I heard their cries. And so God decides to send Moses, who argues with God, I can't speak in front of people, which is not a good excuse. But he argued, I stutter, I can't talk to crowds, da-da-da. Abraham, he interrupted his life. Leave your family. Why, God? Are you anti-family? You don't like my cousins? Why, God? No, well, no, Abraham, they're idol worshipers. They're going to influence you. You have to leave. You have to leave, and maybe someday they'll follow your lead. So God has a purpose. He knew that we're Mary, planning her wedding. She probably had the dress picked out. Come on, some of you are women here tonight. You get engaged, you're looking at dresses. You probably got the dress picked out. Maybe she already had her shower and was opening gifts in her home the night Gabriel came and interrupted her. And now, instead of dishes, instead of pots and pans, she needs diapers and Similac all of a sudden. God will interrupt your life because for a divine purpose that glorifies him and that advances his kingdom. And the story of Jonah I shared last week, it's not about a big fish. It's about our big God. It is not about a big fish. It's about our big God. Neither the fish nor Jonah are the main characters. This story is about the mercy and love of God for all of his people, including one very disobedient, rebellious prophet who's being given a second chance in the story, and also for the very wicked people of Nineveh that everyone hates, but God loves. We can't criticize Jonah because likely we've all resisted God at some time in our life. Likely we've not wanted to be obedient to the assignment God has given us, even those in his word. Have you ever been upset when God asked you to do something, you felt that unction and you did not want to do it? Maybe it's love a person, maybe it's tithe, maybe it's speak up against some wrong and injustice. You just didn't want to do it. But God requires obedience of us and submitting to his plan instead of our plan. And I shared with you a quote, and I'm going to repeat it. G. Campbell Morgan said this, we have become, when we read the book of Jonah, we have become so enamored with the great big fish that we have lost sight of our great big God. We've lost sight of God. God is the hero in this book and the star. I told you that Jonah is a minor prophet. It's only 4 chapters long, the book of Jonah. Any one of you who wants to go home and read that, it's a quick read. It's an easy read. Studying it is a different story. We see 2 miracles in the first verse. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, you know what? The first miracle is that God speaks to us, his creation. The second is that we can actually hear our God speak. And the third would be in that he said, arise and go to Nineveh and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The third miracle is that God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, would want to use little you and I to partner with him to do great things for him in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fish. I had briefly mentioned this last night. I do want to give the big fish a little time here, just a little bit. Because it was so important to my heart when I started researching this and doing the etymology of this word and getting into this. And I shared it just briefly last week. I find it interesting and amusing, first of all, I will say this, that we see a fish that is obedient to God and a Jonah who is clearly disobedient to God. I rest my case. We have a fish that is obedient and a person who is disobedient. Okay, that's not a joke. That's the truth. So tonight, I want to go a bit deeper, no joke intended, not deeper like Jonah, but deeper into this study. I'm going to read to you for just a second, Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Before I continue with that verse, I want to first say that the Lord did not send the fish. He prepared the fish. And I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that you were created for a purpose? The answer is yes. Just shake your head, wave your hands, stand up. Do you believe you were created for a purpose? Yes, I do. Do you believe that all of God's creation that he has created was created for a purpose also? The answer is yes. Every flower, every tree, every galaxy, every tomato plant, animal has a purpose. God does not do things for no reason, no purpose, randomly. He has a purpose for everything. Every flower and snowflake has a purpose to bless this earth. The roses you see by someone's hospital bed were created for a purpose, to show the love of God to someone. The animals are comfort and bring joy and show God's love. The vegetables of this earth are for us to be nourished and sustain life here in our bodies. The flower that was in my wedding bouquet reminds me of God's love and the love we have for one another. The flowers that we gave Grace yesterday reminds us of our love, God's love for her. The flowers we all placed one by one, each of us, on the casket of Kathy Paget were to remind ourselves of love that we shared that came directly from God. Everything has a purpose. The fish that swallowed Jonah was not a random fish. He was born for such a time as this. Let me read a scripture to you. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that God has prepared. So I want to share with you what the definition of prepare is. Many translations say that God sent a fish. God did not just send a fish. That's too light. That's God's word light, and it is taking away from the richness of God's word and the depth and the heart of God's word. Let's read the King James again, Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. The word prepared, when you do the etymology and research, means to make ready for a purpose. If you ladies prepare a meal, you do that in advance. You create a meal in advance for a purpose, right? God created in advance this fish for a purpose. He prepared this fish. This fish was on a mission from God. And there are so many things that I could share with you tonight. I got into this so deep today, I wound up being over my head. It wasn't just a random fish. And it actually begins to blow my mind when I think of that God has prepared things for us. God has prepared a destined you, first of all. He has prepared you and created you for such a time as this, for a purpose, with a mission to accomplish while here on earth. You have a destiny attached to your name. God put you here in advance of a need, a mission that he called you to do. Not only has he prepared you and created you and made you ready for a purpose, he has also, watch this, prepared things for you, blessings for you. And so I wanted to share this with you. There are things in the Bible that it talks about that God has prepared. And the one that touched my heart was when I started reading today all of these things that God has prepared in advance, my heart immediately went to the cross. He prepared a table for me in the wilderness. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. In advance, God created the cross, made ready the cross before I sinned and you sinned your very first sin. God did this in advance. And when he prepared this, the answer to when God challenges you and gives you an assignment, because he's prepared you for that assignment. You understand that. Wouldn't you go into something different if you knew you were fully prepared? God's prepared you for whatever he has for you to do, even if it's a difficult assignment, even if he has interrupted your life. It's not random. He did it on purpose. It's a divine interruption. And so when Jesus said yes to the cross, he was saying yes to you and I. Yes, I will come and help you. Yes, I will heal you. Yes, I will restore you. Yes, I will save you. Yes, I will rescue you. Yes, you will live and not die. You will live forever. So for me to say yes to God, it may seem like a big thing, but it does not compare to the yes that our Savior said in going to the cross. I want to share a modern day Jonah story, if you will. And it's kind of if you're queasy easily, it's a difficult story to hear, but I want to share it anyway. I don't know how many of you have read or studied the killing fields of Cambodia and understand what happened there between the years of 1975 and 1975. Cambodia was ruled by the Khmer regime. It was a rogue group that came into Cambodia by force. And they killed and tortured, and I do not say that word lightly, between 1.5 and 3 million people while the world watched and stood by and basically did not very much at all. Women and children, they killed brutally, many of them by the sword. This is in, you get this, right, 1975 to 1979. And nobody really wants to talk much about the killing fields, even though it's out there. But a man named Sokriska Hin does want to talk about it. He wanted to share his testimony. While the world doesn't talk about it, here's what he said. I was 14 years old. I watched the soldiers as they sharpened their knives and their swords. The other villages had already been wiped out. We knew we were next. They put us on ox carts and they took us outside of town. There my father was bound, and we were allowed to say our goodbyes. They killed everyone that day. 13 were my family members. Suddenly, I felt a blow to my back. I fell into an open grave with 13 on top of my father and my brothers. I was amazingly alive. I wanted to be dead, but I was alive. The soldiers finished killing everyone, including my mother, and left. They were silent. They all left town. I escaped out of an open grave. I ran to a nearby town. As I told my story, they embraced me and welcomed me, and they called me the one who has been resurrected from the dead. I escaped eventually to Thailand and then to Canada, where I earned my doctorate degree, and I received Christ as my Lord and Savior and became a follower of Christ, saying, wherever you want to send me and whatever you want to do with me in my life, send me, Lord. Then in 1996, remember this was in 1979. In 1996, World Vision contacted me. God interrupted my life. I did not like it at all. They invited me to return to Cambodia, to the killing fields, and begin to teach in a Bible school there and share my testimony. I did not want to go. I realized at that moment that my anger, my pain, my bitterness was more than I ever thought possible. I did not want mercy for those people. I wanted justice, just like Jonah wanted for the Ninevites. There is a likelihood, as you read the story of Jonah and you study the backstory, there is a high, high likelihood that this was very, very personal to Jonah, that some of his family or family members had encountered the Ninevites. Jonah hated the Ninevites. He wasn't just apathetic, like, we'll go, not go. He was like, I will go anywhere. I will go far to the ends of the earth, which he basically did, if you see it on a map, before I will go to the Ninevites. They don't deserve me, and they don't deserve God. They deserve justice only. Eventually, so Kreska says in his story, I eventually decided I would go only with God's help. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me. I still wanted them to pay, but I was willing to go. God had truly called me to something greater and given me assignment that I did not want to take. Eventually, after God worked on me and healed me, I went to the village where the killers all lived. I remembered some of their faces. I walked up to them, and only by the strength of God was I able to say, I forgive you. The enemy's not going to ask you to give you those assignments. The hard assignments that you will face in life come from God. They come from God, and they're specifically designed for each and every one of us. God's not going to he's never assured us that we're going to have a comfortable, exciting assignment. He's not going to likely send you to the Caribbean. He didn't send this guy to the Caribbean. He sent him to Cambodia, the one place he didn't want to go. What if I told you God wants you to go to the one person you don't want to go to? The interrupted life is not a privileged life. It is a life filled with challenge. And God told Jonah to arise and get up and go. This man, Sokriska, really was resurrected from the dead. God had his hand on him all the time. God knew before time. He had prepared him. He was literally born for this. And God is calling us to arise to something and to go. It's not just arise. It's arise and go. And it's not just go. It's go where God sends you. When God is prompting us, he's not calling us to stay in a comfortable place, is he? The word arise means to stand up with purpose. And the word arise has the connection of resurrection. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. He'll make you alive. You'll come alive again in Christ when you find your purpose. And you say, well, arise and go where? Well, go into all the world, for one. Go preach the gospel. Go heal the sick. Go raise the dead. Sometimes we just get too comfortable in our Christianity. We just get too comfortable in the chairs that we're sitting in. And God has not called us to that. He's not even called us to be happy. He's called us to be holy. The joy of the Lord is something different. But God wants to get us out of our comfort zone, but he's going to equip us. And he's going to help us, and he's going to transform us. And we have to stop living in the past, deal with the past, heal from the past, heal and deal with the past. Because God wants to use you today and in the future. And, you know, God wants to touch us today. You know, I read a story also this week of a woman in Dallas who was ministering to the homeless. She was doing a good work, but it wasn't completely successful. She was doing a good work in ministry, and she said later that God, she had an opportunity to work with women who were had addictions, okay? And she said to the one who was interviewing her, she said, when I went into ministry and when I took on this homeless assignment, the one thing I told God is she had someone addicted in her life that was close to her, and she said, I don't want to work with addicts, and I do not want to work with female addicts at all. God gave her this assignment. She said, the one thing, I mean the one thing I asked God, I didn't ask him, I won't go to the prisons, I won't go here, I won't go there. One thing I asked God, I just don't want to do that. And God's going like, I'm calling you to that. That is where I'm going to put you. Because God knew her heart. And she said later, what I was doing was good, but it was not God. It was good, There's nothing wrong with ministering to the homeless. There are people who are called to do that, but she wasn't called to do that. And if you're not, listen to the thing that I always share with people. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you're where you're not supposed to be. And if you're where you're not supposed to be, you're not where you're supposed to be. It can't be both ways. We have to do what God has called us to do. Now, Jonah was what we want to call a hyper-nationalist. He loved the Israelites. He was an Israelite gung-ho. I'm an American, I'm American, I'm American. And he's like, I'm Israel, Israel, Israel. He knew that Israel was God's chosen people, and there were Jews and Gentiles. Ninevites were Gentile people, but they were not gentle people, okay? They were violent, they were wicked, they were known for their brutality, like this Cambodia group over here. And Jonah felt like, this is wrong. This isn't right. These people aren't Israelites. They're enemies of Israel. But the Bible says, love your enemies, doesn't it? Do good. The Bible, and doing good is preaching the gospel to your enemies and praying for your enemies. This was not an assignment that he wanted. His reaction was so strong that we do feel that Jonah had, there was something personal in this. We'll find out when we go to heaven. I personally want to see the fish first and say thanks for being obedient and swallowing that guy. You know what I thought of? Let me tell you something. What I thought of, the Bible uses the word, watch this, spew. That fish spewed Jonah out of his mouth. If you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Is this some kind of joke or something? Well, Jonah was not all in, was he? He got spewed out. So that's what spewed out looks like. The Ninevite people were, they were Gentiles. They were not gentle. They were awful people. But God wanted to show them mercy. At the same time, Jonah's not getting this. God's wanting to show him mercy and give him a second opportunity. Because obviously he's totally blowing the first opportunity that God called him. And by the way, the call of Jonah was different than the other prophets of the day. I want you to understand the setting this is. Amos and Hosea are prophets right alongside Jonah at the very same time. And they've got good assignments. They've got pleasant assignments. They are called to speak to Israel. Jonah is called to speak to the evil, ugly, awful, wicked people of Nineveh. Jonah could have easily said, wait a minute, God. They got good. Have any of us ever said, how come so-and-so is called to do something so wonderful? They are, oh my goodness, they're speaking on television. They're singing their songs on television. And Willie sings here at CFC. I mean, it ain't fair. God never said, I'm going to play by a certain set of rules. You'll always see God is just and right in all he does to all of us. And God wanted him to turn his attention to his enemies. And so it was, their call was completely different. But God is not asking you to do something that someone else is assigned to do. But here's the thing. Do not let what you want to do stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Don't let what you want to do get in the way of what God wants you to do. And nowhere in God's word do we read that Jonah changed and his heart softened. You know, that was kind of a funny thing to this whole story, and we're not going to get into it this week, but God was calling him to do something so difficult for him. You just have to understand how difficult that was for Jonah, because you have things in our own life. I'm going to read Jonah 1:3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa. He's fleeing to Tarshish. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This verse confirms twice what Jonah is doing. He is fleeing not from the Ninevites, which is kind of a strange twist to this story. He didn't want to go to the Ninevites, but he's not really fleeing from them. He's fleeing from the presence of God. He's fleeing, and it says it twice in here. When you're disobedient, you don't want to come to church and be in the presence of God. You want to be anywhere. You want to be in Indiana, Texas, anywhere, but not in the presence of God. And that's exactly what's happening. I just got to get away from God because God keeps talking about this assignment he's giving me, and we all know that I don't like the assignment. And so he was determined to get away from God. Tarshish was 2,000 miles from where Jonah was. When God spoke to him, Nineveh was only 500 miles in the other direction. So now Jonah is 2,500 miles from where God asked him to go. So the question I have tonight is, how far away are we from where we're supposed to be and what we are supposed to be doing? And did no one have the kindness to tell Jonah, hey, you're 2,500 miles away and you think you're running from the presence of God, and God's over here in Tarshish. God isn't away from you. You are away from God, but God is not away from you, Jonah. So the joke was on Jonah. We cannot run from God with any measure of success. And God will interrupt our lives. God will give us difficult assignments. He absolutely will. He just wants us to obey and see the results. And we're going to talk about what actually happened in Nineveh, what did happen when he preached a message that I want to call not a very heartfelt message. You know, I can picture Jonah in Nineveh. He did not want to be there. He never changed his mind about wanting to be there. He just knew that God told him. He only gets one point for being obedient. None for going above and beyond, for doing my best work. It's as if I walked in here and said, God said I had to be here, so here I am. And I think that you should repent. And God does love you. I don't, but God does. And so you should repent and you should change your ways. I'm done. Goodbye. That's what he did, basically. That is exactly what he did. But you know what? That's kind of sad, isn't it? That's kind of sad after the cross and after God prepared in advance something so precious and wonderful and saved each and every one of us. Surely I could. Let's ask our worship team to come forward and let's at least spend some time worshiping God. He is worthy of our worship. And I want you to go home with that thought that that wasn't a random fish, that God did that, that God created everything, and he's prepared so many things for us in advance of us needing them. You know, so much. God's got the answer before you had the problem. So we're going to continue on next week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.